part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Ad Hoc Episode 102.
Ad Hoc 102 or 101A, John.
Oh, okay. Or B.
Or B. Or 101.1. What you're listening to is Roach.
A
from
Roach.
Buffalo, New York. Roach. And I gotta take a shit.
It's out of sight, man. I like that. That's very nice. Very melodic. I feel a rumbling inside me. What?
Because I gotta take a shit.
Those are profound words and lyrics and whatever you want to call them. Spoken
I think
very.
Got a good hook.
It's out of sight. The name's Roach?
Roach is the name of the band. They're from Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York. No
doubt.
You can
find them on MySpace.
On your space?
Yes, MySpace.
Right. They got other songs, too. Hoggin. Whatever that means. Maybe that's like picking up chicks.
Who knows what the young kids' slang
young
is today?
Kids.
I don't know.
Yeah. What's with the young kids these days? Hell no.
All right, John. Since our long hiatus, yesterday we did
Hi-tetanus.
We did a webcast yesterday to talk about the Festivus Tetanus.
Yeah, could you get a little more excited?
Updates.
You sound like, are you being really quiet or something because you're locked away in your... basement.
It could be. I'll try to get. It's kind of like Britney Spears' performance, right, at the MTV Music Awards.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like going through the motions,
tripping.
I may trip once in a while. Look dazed and confused. Talk about it. Uncomfortable TV.
Oh man, no.
And
doubt.
I'm no big fan of Britney, but this woman needs somebody to help her. And again, if people would just take our advice and hire us to be their handlers, they wouldn't have these issues. I heard Owen Wilson hired some guy to hang out with him 24/7 to make sure he doesn't drink.
We should have wrote him.
Yeah,
dude,
we could have done that.
We could help you.
And the guy's making like $1,700 a day.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Did you see those MTV Music Awards, John?
Yeah. Just her. Well, her performance, and then Tommy Lee and Kid Rock. Kid Pebble.
Yeah.
Duking it out. That's what he calls him, Tommy Lee. Kid Pebble.
So you watch the white trash portion of the MTV Music Awards then?
Yeah.
I watch pretty much of the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't go to sleep and. I watched it, and I thought MTV had a great idea.
That was just silly.
Whoa.
Wow. you know how if it's everything's on the one stage, and you're trying to get all these musical acts in and out, I mean, that's got to be a logistical nightmare.
Right.
So what they did is they put, like, the Foo Fighters in a suite, and they had a hip-hop suite, and then they had, I guess, four suites where live performances were going on. I thought that was a great idea, but the thing that they did is they would cut to the Foo Fighters for 20 seconds. Oh, and then I cut
know.
Away.
I know.
At least cut for the whole damn song.
They want you to go online.
And is that what it is?
Yeah, and then you go online and they're like 30 seconds into the song already. But Mastodon played.
And, I never heard of Mastodon.
Oh,
who's that?
Oh, yeah, they rock, man. You never heard of Mastodon?
Is it like
friend?
Speed metal? What is that?
No. No, no. They just.
No, I never heard of them. I, like the best new artist of the year, I never heard of. Jim Rat Boys, Jim. The Jim Boy. Who the hell knows?
The Jim Boys.
Are? And what they did is they took a song from the 70s. What the hell's the name of that group? Take a look at my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
She's the only one I got. They just did a remix of that.
Oh, sorry.
Their new artist of the year? What is that? It's a bunch of shit. That's what it is,
John. This is Mastodon.
Who's in Mastodon?
I don't know, but they had some of the guys from Queens of the Stone Age playing
right
with
on.
Them.
Right now.
Foo Fighters, girl's a big fan of these guys.
Well, I thought they had a great idea, but I thought they really mishandled that whole thing. And I guess Kanye got his panties in a bunch because he didn't win anything again. So he pouted and whined a little bit. And he said he's never going to be a part of MTV anymore. He also said that MTV used Britney Spears to get ratings, and it certainly did get the ratings. I mean, if you didn't see it on the show, people are definitely going and taking a look at it because it's so talked about. And, I mean, the way to describe that performance, I don't even know how to put that into words. But it said to me was this, she doesn't even want to be in show business anymore.
Oh, no.
And hopefully she's got enough money to just go away and not get into too much more trouble. I mean, she's a goddamn train wreck. And who are the people surrounding her that tell her, oh, yeah, Britney, that was great. That rehearsal really rocked. You're going to do really great.
Because, man, if they don't, that's their fucking money. That's their ticket, man. Of course, then there's the other successful musicians that are just like, oh, we feel so bad for her. Fuck that. Oops, she did it again.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of hers, but I could not help but feel empathetic for this person. I mean, she was like a deer caught in headlights. It was unbelievable. And I don't know if it's the booze. I heard she was staying up till 3 a.m. every night. And maybe she wasn't taking it that seriously. But it was brutal. Brutal, John.
Yeah, all I know is Chris Angel had enough of her shit.
Well, I guess what happened is, what I heard, anyway, who knows if this is spin, but MTV said, the Chris Angel thing's not going to work. So she was working on that all week.
No, she wasn't. She showed up at two rehearsals, and, you know, he's a perfectionist because this is magic. And it's got to look, they're doing stuff with mirrors, and she was going to do like a clothes change, a change of wardrobe. And the only way they could pull it off is she had to, like, rehearse it, and it had to be perfect timing, and she only showed up for, like, two of them.
I'm telling you, John, if we need to figure out a way to market ourselves to people like this because they are in need of our services, we would get these people snap back into reality, and we would find out. And, like, let's say Britney Spears hired us. We spend 4 weeks with her. And if she doesn't want to be in show business anymore, we're going to figure that out. And she's going to goddamn retire. And that's that. We're going to move on to our next client.
That's right.
You know? But if she wants to be in this, then you're going to take it goddamn seriously.
No doubt, Scott. Well said.
We're not going to be these yes men saying, oh, yeah, that was great, Brittany. That was great.
Hey, you know what I noticed about the podcast yesterday?
Or
the
what'd you webcast? Notice?
I played, like, our second one that we ever did.
Yeah.
The audio quality sounded just like it.
Like the second one
we did. The second one we ever did.
So Skype, well, you know, I prefer to be in the same studio just for the audio quality and just for the interaction. You know what I'm saying, John?
Right.
But in desperate times, call for desperate measures.
That's right, Scott.
So that's
the
why
show
we're
must
doing
go
it.
On.
That's why we're doing it. I'm in my house, you're at your house, and we're using Skype.
Well, the whole two fans that we have now have spoken.
What did they say?
Get back on the
this.
Air.
Oh.
Or whatever, yeah. I don't know. The two.
Who are they?
Podcast Alley fans we had, Pauly B and the Word Whore. Whatever I read yesterday.
Right.
What did I read?
I have no
I
idea what
know.
You're talking about.
What do you mean? Oh. The comments, you dickweed.
Yeah, but you know, when
Surf-ful,
I was...
Surf Durful in
when
shorts.
I was indexing the show
yeah.
That we did yesterday. Yeah, the layoff did not do me any good, John. My broadcasting and communication skills went down the goddamn drain.
Oh.
Like the part I was trying to explain the levels of depth in the Araby video.
Yeah.
I can't even make sense of that listening to myself. I mean, it's retarded. It's goddamn retarded. I called Tony Hearn Tony B.
Tony B. I didn't even catch that.
I
don't
said,
sweat it.
Instead of The Departed, I should have been talking about Blood Diamond.
Blood Diamond.
Because in The Departed, Leonardo DiCaprio had a Boston accent.
Matthew Modine.
And I was looking for the movie where he had a South African accent.
Gavalava.
From Rhodesia, Zimbabwe.
What's your fucking point?
Yeah, so just a complete train wreck. So hopefully it'll go a little better this evening, John.
Yeah, don't worry about it, man. Don't sweat it.
Don't sweat it.
Don't sweat your balls.
Oh, and the other thing about the Music Awards, you didn't see any of this, but I saw the rest of the stuff. And it's so geared towards hip-hop.
Oh, I know.
And the Fall Out Boys, what a bunch of cocksuckers. I mean, those guys are a bunch of tools. In my opinion.
Well, do you ever see, like, that commercial?
We need to become successful just so we can run into them and kick their fucking ass.
Did you see that commercial where the guy is lifting weights? And he's like, oh, man, I get so pumped. The new Fall Out Boy tune. It's, like, so gay. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys with black hair and mascara.
Well, the one guy was saying, they were talking about MTV, and the one guy was saying, he made some comment about Bon Jovi being a bunch of old farts or whatever the fuck, you know. And I never really got into Bon Jovi, but if it wasn't for Bon Jovi, would MTV even be here?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they carried MTV through those shitty VJs they had until they figured out that reality TV was the way to go with Puck.
Right.
In the real life or whatever they called that stupid goddamn show.
Puck, he
and
was
now
my
they don't
favorite.
Even, they don't even play videos anymore.
No. Well, that's what Justin Timberlake said.
So, well, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Justin Timberlake wins an award, and this big black guy, I think it's Timberland.
Black guy.
Runs up there and grabs the award. And Justin Timberlake, I don't know if he's...
And
you know,
anally rapes him with it?
He doesn't want to, you know, say, don't grab the award for me. And the guy starts talking. He's making speeches and
he's
shit.
He's a big black man.
What is Justin Timberlake thinking? John, if you and I won an award, would we bring anybody up there with us? No, we wouldn't.
Did he bend him over and start ramming the moon man up his ass?
No, but he did stay like 5 feet away from the guy. You know,
that's what he was afraid of. Because, you know, that flag hurts.
So the big brother finished talking, and then they let Justin say a couple of words, and then he got this wigger, kind of an Affleck to his voice. What did I say? Affleck?
Affleck.
That's not a word.
A wigger Ben Affleck.
To Affleck. His voice. And it was...
inflection.
It was like, what is going on with music today? And then you got Kanye running around with these white glasses and Fitty. You got Fitty. There's some big brawl that whoever sells the most.
He's bitching about his, what is it, because he's a black man? Well, no, he was injustice, you were saying.
Yeah, give
earlier.
A black man a chance.
Yeah, give a black man a chance, that's right. Hell no.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Man, Britney hasn't had a hit record in 10 years. Yeah, but she's going to do something stupid.
And whenever it's
gonna,
I hear
there's
going to
be huge publicity.
Whenever I hear Kanye talk about how great he is and the cocky Kanye MC or whatever the hell, because all rap music is about is I'm the best rapper, so fuck y'all. And all I think about is the video clip with him and Mike Myers during Katrina.
Oh, yeah. Mike Myers is just like, okay.
And the guy couldn't even get a goddamn sentence out. Hey, man. George Bush doesn't like black people.
Right.
Big puss. But I got to tell you, confidence, since that Katrina, and who knows if it's the record sales that gives him confidence, the number of women he has gives him confidence. The man is definitely confident now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put him in the same situation, you will not get the Katrina Kanye. And then you look at Britney Spears, somebody who used to be confident, has no confidence whatsoever. I mean, she was like in a goddamn stupor.
No doubt, yeah.
And look at the W, stupor. Same thing. The W. Used to be confident.
Yeah.
Now he's a bumbling, overwhelmed, incompetent idiot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
That's Britney.
We're country.
Really?
We're country. We're country.
That's America for you.
That was just silly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What else has been going on?
Well, I saw a bunch of movies.
You did?
On break. Yeah. And the highlight of my movie viewing was actually a cable movie, John.
Really?
High School Musical 2.
Oh, man.
That's right. The most watched cable movie of all time.
We had,
John,
like a sleepover here.
Oh, yeah? How many kids did you have over?
It was just like, let's see, 4 girls, including my daughter. And they were up to like 3 in the morning.
Oh, man. And for those of you like over 14 years old that do not have kids yet, Disney put out High School Musical last year.
Disney.
It's a huge success. It's a musical, of course. It's in the title, stupid ass.
Yeah.
And then this year they followed it up with the sequel with the same cast. And it was the most watched cable show of all time.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is it beat out a Tom Selleck original cable movie.
Oh,
which I'd never heard of, which was the previously most watched show. But we have the soundtrack. The daughter knows every word of every song. And it's a huge, huge thing with the kids, man. It's unbelievable. The marketing machine.
Am I playing the soundtrack?
No, I didn't give you the soundtrack. Do you have it?
Oh, I thought that's what this tune was that you gave me.
No. That's some other Disney thing. That's the song that I'm actually into.
That you
John.
Love.
I love that song. I tried to play it yesterday from my location here, and it didn't work well over Skype. Didn't work well. So I sent you the MP3 so we can hear it in its
entirety.
Intended. Not its entirety. We don't need to hear the whole thing, but in its intended studio mix, so to speak. This is Allie and AJ. All right. I can't stop listening to this song.
Oh my god. Yeah, the bass line follows along. It's all electric.
Yeah, the whole thing. There's probably not one musician
on. Drums.
It's just some geek who knows how to.
All I can remember is us in New Orleans, and we left Rick in your friend's truck, and blaring on the radio is Madonna. And we left
when
him
we got
sitting
back?
There. Yeah, we
oh,
got
when
back.
We left.
He's like, I couldn't figure out how to shut this fucking thing off. People are looking at me. Yeah. So I could see you tooling down the road, cranking.
Oh, I tooled
shit
down the road in my Honda Accord, and I got this thing cranked.
Oh, and people are like, "This, what's with this pedophile?"
Yeah, probably. Something about it, John. I love the drum, the sounds of the drums.
Just want my stuff back. What do you get when you play a country record backwards?
I don't know what. Your stuff back?
You get your wife back, your truck back, your dog back.
All right, so getting one other thing about High School Musical 2, all the Christian and family value organizations have come out and said, this is a great movie. It's a G movie. We support this movie. Hollywood should support movies like this. And I guess when they do make High School Musical 3, it's going to be a theatrical release. You're going to have to go buy a ticket to see the goddamn thing.
Oh, jeez.
But I got to tell you, there's this one scene in this movie. One of the characters in the first one and in the second one, he's gender confused. You get that impression. That he doesn't.
Zac Efron?
No, not Zac Efron. He hooks up with the leading lady. But there's a villain called...
Who has nude pictures on the net.
Yeah. But there's a villain called Sharpay, and she has a brother. And the brother is like her whipping boy, right?
Yeah.
And he's pretty much asexual. So it's there's some gender confusion there. And there's this one number in the middle of the movie where he's starting to assimilate into this group of other kids. There's privileged kids and then the non-privileged kids. So he's assimilating into the non-privileged kids. And there's this whole musical number based around baseball and dancing. And the kid is trying to convince this other very attractive leading young man that he should dance in the talent show. And the young man is saying, hey, I just play baseball. I don't swing that way.
Oh, nice.
These are the lyrics of the song. When I was looking at this, I'm like, this is so homoerotic. It's unbelievable. So that you got to hear this song, and I didn't give it to you. It's out there. You can find it. And this whole thing is this back and forth. I want you to dance for me. Hey, I don't swing that way. I'm a baseball player.
Nice.
But at the end of the song, the guy says, okay, maybe I'll dance with you. And then what really throws it for a loop is the game ends and they cut to a scene right after the game where everybody's together. And the gay guy, or the guy that may be gay, is now wearing the clothes of the guy that he convinced to swing that way. And that guy's wearing his clothes.
Well, that's how stupid these Christian family values coalitions are, man. They don't pick up on the subtleties of art.
Well, I've looked everywhere on the web, and nobody else has picked this up. But if you see the movie, you got to see this one number, and it's so
you need
over
to,
the top.
You need to
it's
blog
so
about
it
on the Disney website.
Disney.
Disney website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go
but,
over
you
there.
Know, it goes right over the kids' heads.
Yeah,
but does it, John?
Does it, right?
Maybe there's young men that are being swayed to the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah, they swing that way.
Maybe they swing that way. Hey, I don't want to swing that way.
Yeah, no doubt.
I wish I had the lyrics in front of me. I would just read them and they would make your skin crawl.
You couldn't find them?
I didn't look for them. I'm unprepared.
It's been a long time.
All right, I'll go down another, just a quick list. I saw Zodiac. I thought that was a good movie. Did you see that one?
No.
That's with Jake Gyllenhaal and
really?
The guy I liked. Who's the guy who's going to be Iron Man? What's his name?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, yeah, that's Less Than Zero.
What the hell's his name? He's in it, too.
Robert Downey Jr.
He's pretty good. Then I rented two movies that the wife absolutely hated. Absolutely hated him. One was called Perfume. That was the worst movie she said she's ever seen. And I heard about that for the following week. She said she wanted to come on the podcast and talk about how bad Perfume was, but she's out of town right now. And then I rented the other one called Open Water, which isn't really a very good movie. But when they finally do get in the water, my wife was completely stressed out because she used to be a scuba diver, used to scuba dive a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And it totally freaked. She had to leave the room at one point. She had to walk out of the room.
Wow.
Let's see. We also saw a pretty good chick flick called The Notebook. It was all right for chick flicks, you know.
Yeah.
Archangel. Have you heard of Archangel?
No, no.
That's with Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
The guy who's Bond.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the senator.
No, that's Larry Craig.
Okay, sorry.
That's Daniel's brother.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
But Archangel came out before Bond, so then when he hit with Bond, this was a made-for-TV movie, so they put it in a DVD and they shipped it off. And it's about a fictional story about Stalin. And it's a goddamn snooze fest for the first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost impossible to stay with this movie, John. But I did. And after the 40-minute mark, you can't stop watching it. That's what I got to say about that. Then The Bourne Ultimatum. Did you see that one, John?
No, I have not.
You have not seen The Bourne Ultimatum?
No, I have not.
I like The Bourne Ultimatum. I don't know if I'd want to see it again, and I'll tell you why. And this is all over the web. People are really upset about this. The camera is constantly moving, constantly jiggling. It's unbelievable. There's two guys talking to each other in a room, and it's a very serious conversation, and the camera's all over the place. Like the person who's holding it has like Lou Gehrig's disease or something. Or Parkinson's, or whatever that one is, where you shake.
Parkinson's.
And it's so goddamn annoying.
Well,
I'm gonna
that's his style.
And the other one I saw was Billy Madison. I saw that. Somebody ordered that on cable. And I saw that a long time ago. It's my least favorite
somebody
movie.
Somebody ordered it.
Somebody ordered it on demand, and I have the ability to see what other people order on demand.
Steal their stuff.
So, I saw it 15 years ago. I freaking hated it. And so I figured, well, let me give it another chance 15 years later, or however long later. And I couldn't get through 45 minutes of the goddamn thing. It's the worst thing I've ever seen put on film. And, you know, I was talking to a colleague that I respect very much at work. I was talking to him about this, and he says, oh, yeah, Billy Madison? Yeah, I like that movie. That's a good movie. And
no.
I got to tell you, I don't know how to react to that.
No, are you serious?
I'm serious. It's got to be a generational thing.
Yeah.
Because he's 12 years younger than I am. All I'm saying is Billy Madison is got to be one of the top five worst movies ever made.
What are you saying?
I mean, it's...
Come on.
I can't
what
find...
What was the other four?
I looked for humor, John.
Humor.
And I didn't find any of it. None of it. And I don't know if it's because I like Adam Sandler and other vehicles, if you will. But I don't know what the hell people were thinking when they put this together. And people who like it when they watch it. It's got to be about the belief system, John. The belief that something's funny when it's not.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know if it's that. But what movie was he was like really good in one movie. It was kind of a weird offbeat comedy slash.
There was Anger Management, and then there was
yeah, that was good.
That was with Jack Nicholson, and then I think I know what you're talking about. Wes Anderson, was it a Wes Anderson movie?
I don't know, man.
You know what? I got the internets right here, John. I got the internets right here.
Internets. I know what it was. It was
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, that's it. Punch Drunk Love. That was a good movie.
He's filming currently Don't Mess with the Zohan. That's got to be fabulous. And Bedtime Stories is in pre-production.
How about I pronounce you Chuck and Larry? We haven't seen that.
Get this. Don't Mess with the Zohan is starring Rob Schneider, and Mariah Carey's in it. That's got to be great.
Oh, God.
I can't wait till that one comes out, John.
Don't mess with the Zohan.
A Mossad agent fakes his death so he can reemerge in New York as a hairstylist. Holy Christ. That is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Who greenlights these things?
The price is wrong, Scott. Unbelievable. What a douche.
Yeah. That was his birthday a couple of days ago. It's for it's Virginia Vadson's birthday, John. I'm so goddamn dyslexic. It's unbelievable. It's Virginia Madison's birthday
today, John.
It's also September 11th. Six years later, John.
6 years and Osama's still sending out his videos.
Ah, that's BS. That's not. That's like an old video.
Really?
Yeah. I read somewhere that I haven't even seen the thing. Who wants to watch the stupid goddamn thing? But when he's talking and the video is actually in motion,
yeah,
he's talking about stuff that could have been filmed anytime.
Anytime, yeah.
And then when he talks about stuff that is related to current events, the video freezes.
Oh, really?
And then he talks about current events.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, Scott.
Yeah,
let's segue that into the political.
Into the political, John. The political. Oh, before we get into political. Well, this is political, but we got to talk about this Larry Craig cocksucker.
Yeah.
And I'm being truthful there when I say that, cocksucker. This guy, some senator from Idaho, he just does not want to get out of the news. He's been in the news for weeks now. And now the latest thing is he's trying to get his guilty plea overturned.
Oh, I know. I know. It's completely retarded.
It is retarded. So this guy's a senator. He's been around forever. 25 years ago, a book came out about senators inviting 15-year-old pages to the White House, yeah, or whatever the fuck was going on. And he felt compelled to come out and hold a press conference to announce he wasn't gay 20 years ago.
Senators.
And then he's in a Minneapolis bathroom. And the other thing I didn't know about this is there's a website you can go to and find out where all the gay hookup places are for anonymous sex. And this Minneapolis bathroom is like a 5-star rated gay hookup. So he goes into the can in Minneapolis.
To tool for some can.
And there's a Sergeant Dave Karsnia is in the can as well.
Karsnia?
So Larry Craig, a conservative Republican senator from Idaho, who has been dogged by and denied rumors about being gay for 25 years. Here's what he does. He walks in to this washroom, and before entering the stall, Craig stared so intently at the police officer through the crack in the door that the officer reported he could see the senator's blue eyes, John.
Yeah, that's creepy.
That is creepy. So right there, if I'm sitting in a toilet and a guy's like looking in the stall, I'm going to say, hey, man, fucking taken, okay?
Yeah.
There's 50 other stalls
hey,
here.
Hey, take a picture.
So that act alone,
balls.
I think he's, you know, he's making like an overture, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
An opus, if you will. An opus cule.
An opus cule. Small so, body of work that nobody cares about.
Craig takes the stall right next to the guy. Now, let's say when I go in the toilet and let's say there's 10 stalls,
yeah,
and there's one guy in the middle.
I'm going to the furthest one, you know?
Yeah, I go to the furthest one. Who goes to the one right next, yeah, to the only guy in the bathroom? So he goes in there. When he gets inside, he taps his foot, brushing it against the officers.
Oh, that's just weird.
That is weird. And he waved his hand under the stall divider 3 times, according to the police report. The police officer waved his badge back, to which the senator responded, no.
No.
Later in the airport police station, Craig flashed his business card. Okay, so now the senator flashes his business card to the police officer. And he says, What do you think about that? What a cocksucker.
I think you're really going down.
Yeah, no doubt.
Literally.
So, the guy is definitely, he's in the can, and he's definitely behaving oddly.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I don't understand is why this is illegal.
You know? Suck dicks.
Because if it's you or me in the stall next to him, we would have stopped it right when he was peering in the stall.
Yeah,
we would have said, hey, what the fuck? This stall is taken. And he would have gotten the message, right?
Yeah.
But no, he doesn't get any rebuttal, so he gets the stall next door, and he starts tapping his foot and moving his foot over into the other guy's stall. And if, again, like let's say we were reading a paper, and we didn't see him peering through the stall. And then a guy's foot, like, slides under the stall and starts making contact with us. He'd be like, hey, what the fuck, man? So, again, right. What I don't understand is he's charged with indecency. But what is this? I mean, if it's what's the big deal? Why can't – if he wants to hook up in a men's bathroom in an airport and have anonymous sex, why can't he? Why is there a law against that?
I don't know. Maybe they consider prostitution.
But there's no exchange of money.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't think it should be against the law. And you can definitely argue that it's entrapment because any heterosexual man would have stopped it right when he was staring through the goddamn door. They would have said, hey, fuck off. But get this, John. I went out and I found this article.
It was Tooling for Anus. Wasn't that your favorite album?
It was my favorite album. Tooling for Anus by the Meat Men. So I found this article on the web, and they asked some frequently asked questions.
Ask me a question.
About bathroom sex.
Yeah.
The first one, is tapping your foot really code for public sex? Yes, the signal has been around for decades in the United States and Europe. Generally, one person initiates contact by tapping his foot in a way that's visible beneath the stall divider.
Nice.
If the second person responds with a similar tap, the initiator moves his foot closer to the other person's stall. If the other person makes a similar move, the first person will inch closer yet again. The pair usually goes through the whole process a few times just to confirm that the signals aren't an accident.
Oh.
How could that possibly be a goddamn accident?
If
some guy's tapping his foot and he's moving it into my stall, into my territory.
He's got a wide stance, Scott.
Oh, yeah, that's a great excuse. I got a wide stance. We'll get to that later, John. Just how sexy can you get when there's a divider in the way, John? That's the next question.
I don't know.
It depends on the bathroom. If the participants were in the last stall in a long row, they might have enough privacy to get in to get it on right there beneath the divider. Alternatively, one person can enter the other stall by serpentitiously. Help me with that word, John. What is that word?
Spell it.
Serpentitiously. Ducking around the back.
Serendipitously?
Positions vary depending on space. But one classic setup, John, this is a classic, has one man sit on the toilet while the other straddles his legs and receives oral.
Oh.
In the 70s, some men frequented the popular bathrooms at Bloomingdale's in New York would hide their legs by standing in a pair of shopping bags.
Oh.
Getting back to the stance. This is Craig's defense. I'm just a wide stance kind of a guy. And he's supposedly crouched over the toilet taking a, number two.
Yeah.
Is it wise to use a wide stance when you go to the bathroom, number two? No, John. No, it's not. When you're sitting on a toilet, spreading your feet and leaning forward tightens the levator ani muscles that control defecation. If you're having trouble passing stools, you should take the opposite of a wide stance and lean back. Doctors recommend this technique to relax the bowel muscles.
Tet ani.
The levator ani muscles, John. So
that's got to be on a T-shirt. That's a great name for a band, the levator ani.
Hey, we're thinking about starting a band, levator ani.
Levator ani.
Levator ani.
No doubt.
What's your tetanus?
Right.
So now this guy is, he pled guilty to put the matter behind him quickly. And of course, that's not what happens. This stupid ass. So now he's going to go to court and take it to trial or try to get the guilty plea reversed. And it's, I don't know.
Which you can.
You can do that.
Yeah.
But then they're going to get into a trial where all these details are going to come out once again.
Right.
And one of the most interesting videos I've seen is his kids. I think it was, who's the news, the journalist that looks like Martha Stewart, but it's not, Diane Sawyer. She's interviewing the kids, and you can tell that the son is a complete flamer.
Oh, no.
And they're talking about how they asked their dad some really tough questions. Like, Dad, what were you doing in the
Dad?
How could they misconstrue these actions? And you could tell that the kid had experience with this stuff, you know, so he really put the dad on the spot. But the dad convinced the kid that he's just got a wide stance, and it was all a misunderstanding.
Son, I have a wide stance.
But they have audio
so
of
the... I can
get
a big face in between my nuts.
They have audio of the interrogation.
It's brutal.
I mean, it is brutal. And then you go back 20 years when somebody published a book. They didn't name any names. They just published a book about pages being sexually taken advantage of. And he holds a press conference to say he's not gay.
I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
Oh, God.
And, you know, he's voted against the Homers, is his voting record, and people are saying, what a hypocrite. But I did read one article where somebody said, he's not a hypocrite, he's just weak, and he really believes he's not gay. But he's weak. I'm not gay, but, you know, I'll suck this guy's cock, but I'm not gay. I'm just weak.
Just weak.
So he's not hypocritical. Which I don't buy. I think it's a big load of shit.
Right.
And why is it always Republicans?
I know. Because they think it has nothing to do with genetics or anything, and they think it has everything to do with sin. So they feel that this is the devil doing it to them.
Oh,
and they just need to seek God's forgiveness.
I'm not gay. It's the devil making me tap my foot in a public airport restroom, which has got to be filthy.
That's the weakness that that person's talking about.
I see. He's the weakness. He's weak.
He's
maybe we should have Satan on to talk about that sometime.
We have to do that.
We can move on.
So you got a sound clip? You got a sound clip?
I do not. I did send you a sound clip.
Yeah,
I have no idea what the sound clip is.
All right.
It's him. He left a voicemail somewhere.
Right.
Who knows what he's saying?
Received at 11:50.
Oh, this was our. Hold on. Stop it.
What?
We got this. He called us. This is a Skype message he left us.
Great, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you okay, man?
Yeah, I'm fine,
I'm worried
man.
About you, dude, man. All right.
Received at 11:55 a.m.
Yes, Billy, this is Larry Craig calling. You can reach me on my cell. Arlen Specter is now willing to come out in my defense, arguing that it appears by all that he knows I've been railroaded and all of that. Having all of that, we've reshaped my statement a little bit to say it is my intent to resign on September 30. I think it is very important for you to make as bold a statement as you are comfortable with this afternoon, and I would hope you could make it in front of the cameras. I think it would help drive the story that I'm willing to fight, that I've got quality people out there fighting in my defense, and that this thing could take a new turn or a new shape, has that potential. Anyway, give me a buzz or give Mike a buzz on that. We're headed to my press conference now. Thank you. Bye.
So he was railroaded.
To replay.
John.
Right.
Railroaded.
So who was he asking for? Philly?
In the beginning
here, listen.
He's got quality people.
At 11.
He's got quality people in place.
A.M.
Yes, Billy, this is Larry Craig.
Billy.
Oh, somebody on our show.
Yeah.
Named Billy. Do we have a staff member now?
We have a lot of staff members.
Billy Madison, maybe, he was calling for. Was he calling for Billy Madison?
All I know is he was railroaded.
He was,
okay,
he was. Ripped.
He
was.
He went in to take a shit. He's got a wide stance, and this cop cuffs him, yeah. And that's the end of the story. That's all he knows.
He
pleads guilty just to get move on. I gotta go places. I gotta do things. Let me just plead guilty and let's move on.
He was anal roaded.
Yeah, that's why he flashed his card and said, "Hey, what do you think about that?" Yeah, because he was railroaded.
Check this out, huh? Hey, baby. Check me out.
I don't understand why the leaders of the GOP aren't saying, "Hey, fucker, just resign already,
yeah.
You cocksucker.
You dumbass."
Because now he's going to go into a trial where all these details are going to come out again? Stupid ass.
Right.
They got no sense over there.
No
they need to hire
sense.
Us as
yeah.
consultants, John.
No
oh,
doubt.
And the thing that happened that while we were away is this Rove resigns, Karl Rove.
Yeah, Gonzalez.
The genius behind the Bush regime.
How about Go-Go Gonzalez?
Let me stick with Karl Rove for a second.
All right.
The big genius, the brains behind Bush. Okay, if he's has anything to do with any decisions the administration has made, the guy's a fucking idiot. If all he did was get the W elected... He's a genius. Genius.
Yeah. Right.
And Gonzo resigns
Gonzo
as well.
Resigns.
Everybody's jumping ship. Tony Snow resigns.
Yeah.
W and Cheney come out and say, "Hey, we're executive office. We have executive privilege. F off.
We don't got to do shit.
We're not going to tell you anything because we don't know anything. We're too goddamn stupid."
Did you hear what this dumbass did, the chimp, what he did in Australia?
Yeah, he's so goddamn stupid. It's unbelievable. And I swear to God, I think he thinks he's a comedian.
Yeah, I know.
Like he could, I think he thinks he could be like have his own HBO special if he wasn't a president.
It says here, President Bush's trademark struggles with the finer points of public speaking were on full display Friday when he thanked his Austrian hosts for inviting him to his this year's OPEC summit. The language mangler in chief was in Australia attending the APEC, Asian Pacific Economic Corporation summit, along with misidentifying his host country and the name of the summit. Bush struggled to leave the lectern, trying to exit the stage the wrong way. And you see the dude on the video. You know, he does the finger thing. "Excuse me, Mr. President." And he's fingering the back towards him. "No, this way." And Bush was going to walk off the stage and literally make a face plant on the floor. So
we read a story about where he tried to plug the electric cord into a hydrogen tank.
Yeah.
And he was racing the guy there because he wanted to get there first,
right,
so he could do it. And the guy almost had to wrestle him to the ground so he didn't blow up the whole goddamn thing.
And then the time he was in the Chinese thing and he came back and tried to open the two doors. Remember that?
I remember
doing
that.
The Chinese speech, and he turns around and opens them, and they're locked, and then he turns around and just stands there like a dumb man. Anyways, here's what he says at the APEC summit.
George W. Bush, the president, gave a major speech today to business leaders and managed to mangle his lines.
"Good morning, or should I say good day. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit. I appreciate APEC summit, you know. He invited me to the OPEC summit next year."
And they're laughing at him now.
I know.
They're not. Why are they laughing?
Nervously.
I'd be like, Jesus Christ. I'd be, oh, Jesus, look at this fucking idiot.
And listen to what he says here about the terror networks and tell me if you can figure out what the fuck he just said.
Terror, John, terror.
Here it is.
"The two most dangerous terrorist networks in this region are a group called Jemaah Islamiyah from a great American."
Listen again.
"The two most dangerous terrorist networks in this region are a group called Jemaah Islamiyah from a great American naval vessel called the U.S.
Jemaah Islamiyah. What the hell is he saying?
Who knows?
Unbelievable. Where did I put that? Where did I put that other one? Didn't I have another one?
You know, the crowd laughing, it makes me think of when they do their stupid press dinner. Remember we took the time machine bag with special ed?
Yeah.
To their press dinner, and the press is cackling and laughing at his stupid-ass jokes. It's goddamn nauseous, John. It's goddamn nauseous.
Yes, it is, Scott. It's goddamn nauseous. What is this one here?
We're making progress. We're making good progress in Iraq. We've made a lot of progress on the ground. We're making progress. We're making really good progress in Iraq.
Oh, that's an old one.
That's a bunch
anyway,
of shit.
Anyway, here's the one from Chris Matthews, and you talked about it earlier. Did you have some copy on that about him and Austin Powers?
Oh, yeah. Just that in this new book that came out, it's called Dead Certain. It's about the W, Dead Certain. And the guy is concerned about his legacy. So the books are starting to come out that are going to try to portray him as some great leader when he's just an overwhelmed, incompetent failure at everything.
Chimp.
One of the folks, he, gosh darn it, that president sure is a funny fella. Anecdotes in Robert Draper's new book about George W., Dead Certain, is that W. is a big fan of Austin Powers, and in particular the character of Dr. Evil, imitating him often along the corridors of the White House.
Oh, my God.
Now, we know the guy's a chimp, and I guess it's better he's imitating Dr. Evil than, like, Bonzo or whatever the goddamn chimp was in the Reagan movies.
Yeah, but you
gotta... But it's still...
No. You got to hear what Chris Matthews says in this clip.
Well, hold on. Let's say John and Scott are walking down the hall of the White House, right? And the W comes out.
We'll be dog-tied.
And we're overwhelmed with, you know, the leader of the free world. And he comes out and he does a Dr. Evil impression. And you know it's got to be horrible. It's got to be the worst.
Scott, you owe me $1 million.
If somebody could capture that and put it on YouTube, it would be the most viewed video right, of all time.
Right. This is our president, ladies and gentlemen.
So what did Chris Matthews have to say?
Here it is.
$1 million.
Robert Wagner. Well, don't you think we should maybe ask for more than $1 million? $1 million isn't exactly a lot of money these days.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Okay, then. We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
What did you make of that, Robert, that this president, George W. Bush, likes to do Dr. Evil?
That he has a goofy sense of humor, at times bordering on juvenile. I think that he loves that movie. He loves Austin Powers. It's not just that he loves a megalomaniac.
Why a clueless megalomaniac?
Well,
you do Brokaw really well and a bunch of other people like Red Buttons that nobody else remembers. But why would this guy choose Dr. Evil?
Well, because I mean, you just told my line. I mean, with all respect to the president.
Oh, shit. It cut off.
Why did it cut off?
He calls him a goofball at the end. All due respect to the president, he's a goofball.
But that's kind. That's a kind.
I know.
Goofball is giving him some sort of credibility.
Yeah. Well, Chris was funny.
More than $1 million. $1 million.
Oh, shit. Anyway, Chris Matthews, if you caught it there, he goes, well, why, okay, of all the people he can imitate, why a megalomaniacal moron, basically.
And?
Well, that's... Think about it.
It's a redundant question.
It's redundant, yeah.
Yeah.
Why a menegana? Hello.
What are you drinking over there, John?
I'm drinking Diet 7-Up, dude.
I got the Glenlivet.
I am not even drinking any. I was looking for some liquor. I couldn't find any. Nothing but rum. And
Glenlivet, baby. On the rocks.
I need some bourbon.
From the private stash.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Rolling Stone a couple weeks ago. Who's on the cover? Maroon 5 is on the cover. And they got this great article about how Halliburton and private contractors are stealing the war. And still nobody talks about this, how much money we're spending on this shit, and who's going to pay for
blood and treasure, Scott.
Halliburton, how Halliburton stole the war. No private contractor in Iraq has ripped off U.S. taxpayers with as much zeal as KBR, which is either the owner of Halliburton or a spinoff. I don't know. Oh, recently spun off from Halliburton. The company has become the nation's most notorious war profiteer, cashing in on the invasion with phantom charges while cutting corners on basic services. Now, here's just a couple. I'm not going to give you all of them. I'm just going to give you a couple, John. Just a couple. Phantom meals. While taxpayers up... billed taxpayers up to $16 million for food that was never served to troops.
Oh, man.
At one camp in Kuwait, they charged for 42,000 meals, but they only served 14,000. Rotten food. They serve spoiled meat and canned food a year past its expiration date in mess halls, cited for blood all over the floor. One former KBG manager testified that the company even dug shrapnel out of food supplies hit by insurgent attacks, then served the meals to the troops.
Oh, that's nice.
It's unbelievable. Un-goddamn believable. The other one. They need towels, right? You got to clean up when you're in the desert. You need towels after you shower. Useless logos tripled the cost of ordinary towels by insisting they be upgraded at taxpayer expense, and that's you and me, John, with an embroidered logo.
Oh, my God.
It's in. There's so much more detail in this article. It makes your goddamn stomach turn. But the one thing that really set me off, John, is the W in all his genius. Here's what this idiot did. The Bush administration shipped so much cash into Iraq. Cash, John. Cash. Like when you go to Vegas and you see the $1 million and the... they shipped this stuff on huge wooden pallets that officials in charge of contracting literally played football with $100,000 bundles of bills. So they're playing football with this money. They're sending so much goddamn money.
Oh, my God. Cash.
And guess what, John? Much of the money soon vanished.
Yeah.
Here's what we shipped to Iraq in cold, hard cash. $12 billion. That's 363 tons of cash. $12 billion. Guess how much is unaccounted for?
How much?
$8.8 billion.
That is fucking just...
266 tons of missing money.
Now, let's say you're in charge of that. Do you think you'd still have a job? No.
That's an excellent question. The guy who's in charge of it, what is he doing now? Bush is probably nominating to the Supreme Court, this stupid-ass crony.
Well, do you remember Schmedley Butler I talked about?
I remember Schmedley.
General Schmedley Butler. He wrote a book called War is a Racket. And what he wrote was, it says here, it is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. And what he recorded was companies like U.S. Steel, DuPont, Bethlehem Steel, Anaconda Copper, Utah Copper, America Smelting, goes all the way down to General Motors, for instance. Average profits in the last pre-war year. Now, you got to remember, this is back by around World War II. U.S. Steel, $105 million. Average profits during the 4 years of war, $259 million. DuPont did like $6 million. During the war, $58 million. Profiteering. And he wrote this great book. This is a guy that people don't even talk about that was even approached by companies like DuPont and other companies to overthrow FDR because they actually believed a little bit in the fascist regime of Hitler.
Yeah, it's
and they wanted him to organize a military using the guys that were in tents in front of the, what do you call it, in front of the White House to storm the White House and overthrow FDR.
Schmedley Butler.
Yeah.
Look it
well
up,
documented.
Folks.
Well documented. Schmedley Butler.
Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
Like there aren't any conspiracies.
Right.
That's a conspiracy for you right there. Oh, people could say, ah, conspiracy theory. Well, they actually investigated and they admitted it. It really happened. And it happened, too, with the other black ops thing that we talked about, which was Blackwoods, or was it Northwoods? Northwoods?
Northwoods.
Remember?
Right on, John. I remember that.
Where they were going.
Look that up, too.
Yeah, Northwoods.
Because I don't remember the detail. I just remember Northwoods.
Operation Northwoods, man.
Right on.
During Kennedy, when Kennedy was in office and McNamara, he wrote books about it. They declassified this information where they were going to get the American people to go for a war with Cuba. The only way they could do it is to start doing mock terrorist exercises, having people dressed in black and stuff and shoot civilians, saying they just came over on a refugee boat.
From Cuba.
And even shoot down a plane full of students was one of the
ideas.
Yeah, one of the ideas.
That's great. And it's all documented.
All
That's
documented.
Great, John.
You can actually look at the actual document, the memo that was written by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Check it out. Declassified.
I will do that. I'll check it out, John. And we just talked about $12 billion. 8.8 is missing. 8.8 of $12 billion. But that's like chump change, okay, after I read this next story. According to the Treasury Department, from 1776 to 2000, the year 2000, the first 224 years of a U.S. history, John, 42 U.S. presidents borrowed a combined $1.01 trillion from foreign governments and financial institutions.
Yeah.
But in the past 4 years alone, the W's regime has borrowed how much, John? How much do you think?
Oh, he's borrowed more than all presidents combined.
That's right, $1.05 trillion. So we're borrowing all this money, we're printing money, shipping it to Iraq. It's unaccounted for. No wonder you go over to the UK, you get £2 for every dollar.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck the conversion rate is.
Yeah,
whatever.
It costs $2 for every pound.
Yeah, same thing. It's goddamn ridiculous. Okay. Nobody talks about this. Who's going to pay for this, John? Who's going to pay for this? We're just going to keep printing money?
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You got China and Japan, biggest lenders of them all, and China's messing around with the yen because so there was somebody talking about how they can leverage it based on the deficit or what we owe them. So they can, it doesn't cost them any money because we owe them so much money. So they can do everything on the cheap. Hello?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I hear that, man.
Are you there?
Of course I'm here.
Is it the yen? What is the Chinese one? Is it yen?
Why not?
I don't know. I know the yen is Japanese. What is
well,
the
then
Chinese
it's not
one?
The Chinese. If you know the yen is Japanese, then it's not the Chinese one. We'll have to go watch a Bruce Lee movie, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, what kind of money do the Chinese have?
One other W story. This is a direct quote from the just-published Reagan Diaries. So Ronald Reagan, the actor, had some diaries, and this entry is dated May 17th, 1986, May 17th. Let me try to do a Reagan here. Okay, John? It's going to be a stretch. Oh, Nancy. I'm going to do him like Floyd the Barber.
Floyd, do him like the W doing Floyd the Barber.
Oh, the moment I've been dreading, John. George brought his ne'er-do-well son around this morning and asked me to find the kid a job. Ooh, not the political one who lives in Florida. This is the one who hangs around here all the time looking shiftless. This so-called kid is already almost 40. He's never had a job. Ooh. Maybe I'll call Kinsley over at the New Republic and see if they'll hire him as a contributing editor or some shit like that.
Come on.
Like easy work. Oh, Nancy, come over here. Let's smoke a doob. All right, so that's just published in the Reagan Diaries. Even back then, even Reagan knew the W was a shiftless loser.
Well, yeah, that's why Daddy W was crying, because they were trying to get the one son in Florida to become president. And here comes the little stupid-ass chip son, and he ends up being president.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
No, it's over. It's over.
Unbelievable. And they're talking about his legacy. And
well, one of the
out of ten historians say, oh, yeah, he's going to be great. Of course, they're all Republican.
Right.
Because you know John Truman wasn't well-liked.
Right.
I just have one last story. Do you have any other stories?
No, I'm fresh out, man.
One last story. Now we're going to take it from an Iraq perspective, John. We're going to look at Iraq from the Iraq perspective. All right? So we're going to go over to Iraq. At one point, three visiting members of Congress, and they don't say in this article who they were. Oh, yeah, they do mention them. A couple of Republicans and one Democrat. So they're visiting Iraq, and they're trying to discuss the state of Iraq's security forces with Iraq's national security advisor, okay?
Yeah.
So the guy in charge of security for Iraq, they're trying to have a discussion with him about security. And this fucktard's name is Mowafak al-Rubia. But the large flat panel television set facing the official proved to be a distraction. Rabuya was watching children's cartoons. They don't say which children's cartoons. I'm guessing SpongeBob. When one of the senators asked him to turn it off so that they can actually have a goddamn discussion about the state of security in Iraq, Rabuya protested with a laugh and said, "But this is my favorite television show," Moran recalled. This other senator confirmed the incident, although he tried to paint the scene in the best light, noting it that at least they had electricity.
Oh, my God.
In other words, during an official meeting with U.S. lawmakers, a man responsible for coordinating Iraq intelligence would rather watch a cartoon than discuss national security.
Oh, unbelievable.
And the W is still hoping for a democracy over there? These people are fucked, John.
Yeah.
Fucked. It's not our fault.
They're totally fucked. We didn't vote for them.
Special ed. It's Papooch's fault. Yeah. The Papooch. It's your fault. You heard me, Papooch.
And my wife.
Really? I don't know how that happened.
The first time.
Ah, the first time. Okay. No big deal. But the second time?
Yeah. No.
Not the second time.
No.
Of course not.
Hey, this is what it is. The Chinese yawn. Not the yen.
The yawn.
The Japanese is yen.
Yeah, of course. The yen and the yawn.
And here's what they're saying. I guess there's tensions between China and the United States on a key source of trade friction. The White House, pressured by manufacturers and local members of Congress, has lobbied China to raise the value of its currency, arguing that a low-priced yuan has unfairly kept Chinese goods artificially cheap. And the way they're doing it is because we owe them so much money. I can't remember how they do that or what the actual accounting term is for it. But they're able to leverage that by extending it towards the money that we owe them. So
well,
they,
we're their biggest consumer, right? Because who else would buy this shit they fund, that we buy?
Right, they fund it with credit.
I read some story where some guy in China who's been working in factories all his life putting this shit together, like 99% of the time when he's putting this stuff together, he's like, who the fuck would buy this garbage? And we're the only ones that would buy it. So China needs us.
Yeah.
Which is fortunate.
Right.
In the current state of affairs.
Oh, man, it's so fucked up.
It is fucked up. And the Democrats, what the hell are they doing? Why is an impeachment on the goddamn table?
Oh, yeah, and here's the other thing that's pissing off the W. Just like Saddam did, he was selling, trying to sell oil for the euro, and everybody thought he was crazy. And then he did that, and he started making a shitload of money because the dollar fell in value. So everybody was worried that OPEC was going to follow suit and that they would do the same thing. Well, everything's traded in USD. If that would happen, we'd go up to like $6 a gallon. And, you know, countries like Japan would be screwed because they're supposedly would be screwed because they're spending so much freaking money then on that natural resource. Whereas then they would have to call in their loan from the U.S., and that could cause all kinds of problems. Well, Iran, because of the sanctions, has recently decided to sell all their oil for yen, the Japanese yen. So they're selling directly to Japan in yen, which is perfectly fine for Japan, and the euro. And that's got everybody's panties in a bunch.
It's got my panties in a bunch, John.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is that? You don't think people should be allowed to trade for whatever they want? Sell to the highest bidder?
No.
No. No.
I don't know.
Well, hey, don't worry. Salt water is some guy figured out he can take salt water and make it combustible.
Yeah, I read that today.
You see that on Dig?
Yeah, but the oil companies will buy them out and squash that.
That's goddamn ridiculous.
That is goddamn nauseous.
All right, we got to get out of here, man. We've ran way too long.
Way too long. Way too long. What are we doing on time?
My ass hurts. We're like an hour and a half.
Really? That's like a three-part show.
Right, it is.
All in one. All in one. An ad hoc.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do this every day if we wanted.
Oh, I forgot to thank the word whore yesterday for being on the show when I concluded the show when we lost her.
But, oh, yeah, we so did. I'd like to thank we forgot that.
The lovely word whore from
Who
Iran.
Who will be here for Festivus Titanus.
That's right.
Oh, and we got some message from Lori as well, and she's welcome to stay with Erica again if she wants to. I guess last time she was there, Erica was puking all over the place, and it was an uncomfortable situation for Lori.
Well, there's a Best Western, like, literally almost right across the street.
Well, she has another option to stay in the studio if it's just for one night. Is she coming for one night?
With Tony B.
Yeah, with Tony B. Tony B. Hearn.
Paulie Hearn.
Tony B. Gay.
Oh, what?
What? So that's an option. She could stay with Erica. She could stay with Mr. Schmuel. She could stay with Tony Hearn at the studio. She doesn't have to get a hotel.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, then. Well, this is ad hoc episode 101.1.
I say we 101.1? I say we call it 101. I'm sorry. I say we call it 102. 102.
That's what I said, and you know 101A. How about 101B? 101.1.
Shut up, man. Stupid ass.
Stupid ace.
Fuck you.
All right, we're out of here. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening to Total Talk Nonsense. We'll catch up with you to whatever.
When are we going to catch up with them? because the wife's out of town next week.
Another
so
one
we're
tomorrow?
Have to do, we could do an ad hoc.
Tomorrow?
I got school tomorrow.
Oh,
right. I fart my stir stay of school. I really should go to a doctor about this.
Yeah.
I start my first day of school tomorrow, John.
That's out of sight. Good luck, Scott.
I'm at DePaul University, John.
Oh, shit.
I get out at 9:30. But next week, we could do Sunday, we could do Monday, we could do Tuesday.
You're going to be going to school till you're like 67.
No, this is an accelerated program, John.
Oh.
For adults. Because I'm an adult now, John.
You're an adult now. Since what? Last week or what?
Yeah, pretty
much. Since you turned 43?
I had to take a test to be like
an adult.
Convince them that I'm an adult and that I could take the fast track program to get my degree.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, well, we're out of here, man. Thanks for listening.
All right, man. Bye. Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for air out my shorts for yesterday, and yeah.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Anything else?
No.
Nothing.
I got to take a piss really bad.
All right.
All right. All right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to John and Scott.
Actual Talk Nonsense.